Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yud Zayin and Kuf Yud Chet. Okay, we'll go back to the beginning of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph for a brief minute, just to review the shitot that we saw yesterday. We're dealing with new topic, basically, is the Chalukat Ha'aretz, when they got to the land. How did they distribute the land? So the first opinion we saw was that, which was the one that our Mishnah, that matched our Mishnah, which is that the land was given based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who left Egypt. Basically, if you left Egypt, you were over 20, you got a nachala on the land. We saw that that also meant potentially someone could get double nachala, because if they and their father were over 20 when they left Mitzrayim, so when their children went into the land, they would get both a portion of the father's and a portion of, and the grandfather's, right? They'd end up with double portion. So according to this, that's Rabbi Yoshia, Liyotzei Mitzrayim Nishchaka Ha'aretz. We said there was a problem with these two psukim. On the one hand, it said Lishmot Matot Avotam, which we understood that from Lishmot Matot Avotam, according to the name of the Shevet, meant Yotzei Mitzrayim. Today we're going to figure out why they assumed that the Shemot Matot Avotam means Yotzei Mitzrayim. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. And it also said La'ela Techaleget Ha'aretz, which meant to those standing before us, which are the Ba'ei Ha'aretz. So the first opinion said, no, it's Yotzei Mitzrayim. And le'ele techalek meant le'ele ka'ele, just like the ones who got out of, the nachala was only going to be given to those over 20. Okay, just like the Yotzei Mitzrayim were over 20. Rabbi Yonatan says, le'ba'e ha'aretz nischal ka'aretz. Okay, we're now six lines down on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And he had this strange shita, which is, it was given to those who came into the land. Okay, so let's say, right, yesterday we gave an example. We have Reuben and Shimon, and Reuben has five sons, and Shimon has one son. So if Reuben and Shimon got out of Egypt, and then going into Egypt, there were six sons altogether. So if you say, Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Reuben gets one chelek, and Shimon gets one chelek, and Reuben's chelek gets split up into five, and Shimon's gets split up into one.
Because they were under 20.
Because, well, Reuben and Shimon were over 20 when they left Mitzrayim.
And the children were.
And the children, right, but the children were not even born yet or under 20 or whatever it might be. And when they got into the land, though, they were over 20. So they each got, right, Reuben's property, he got one property that had to be split up now into his five sons. But if you say, Leba'e ha'aretz nitchal kaha'aretz, because you're focusing on the le'ela techalek ha'aretz, it's going to go based on those who went into Mitzrayim, then these same children will get six equal parts when they get into Egypt. Okay? Six equal parts to Reuben and Shimon, because it goes by those who were right, what do they call them? Ba'e ha'aretz. Okay, it goes by the Ba'e Ha'aretz, and now there's six, so they get six equal parts, as opposed to two parts that are split into one will be for one person and one will be for five people. But in Rabbi Yonatan's explanation, he said, but it was not exactly like that, because what happened? The Chayin Yorshim Metim, and he gave this example of two brothers who lived in one city, and they sent, one had two sons and one had one son, they sent their sons to get the Truma. What did the sons do when they got the Truma? They got three portions, but they brought it back to the fathers and then split it up equally between the two families. So in essence, what would happen is these six kids would get six portions, okay? Then they go back and give them to Reuven and Shimon, who were no longer alive. That's why it's called Maitim Yorshim et HaChayim in this case. Ki'ilu, they would go back, and then those six portions that they got would now be evenly distributed between Reuven and Shimon. And half would go to Reuven, half would go to Shimon. So in the end, it's not like Reuven's going to end up, because he has five kids, with five extra portions, and Shimon's going to have one. No, it's that they get portions divided up by how many people they are at the time they got into the land, but then they go back and they split that evenly between the two who came out of Mitzrayim. So what the exact practical differences, I can't say I know for sure. In other words, I thought of different ways of getting it. I'm not 100% sure I understand this, because in the end, it could be they now get more nachala because they get six portions that they now divide into two. Right? Think of those two sons who went to get the three sons who went to get the truma. If the fathers had gone, they'd only have gotten two portions. When the sons go, they now get three portions, and they divide it evenly, and each one gets one and a half. So it's possible. The problem is, if you do the math there, then they're going to end up with way... It, proportionally, I assume that these six portions are going to be much smaller than the two they would have gotten originally, because it doesn't really make so much sense. The other issue, though, that is definitely relevant, and that's why I'm not sure that this is such a relevant difference, because the fact that they're getting more, it might just be more of less. Otherwise, there won't be enough space in the land to get. The other thing is that if there become exceptions, like if, for example, you had, let's say Reuven and Shimon were no longer alive, and their kids were no longer alive. So if you go by the Yotzei Mitzrayim, what will happen? They will get the Nachala, and it will go to the next of kin, right? It'll go up a generation to their other, maybe they have other brothers, maybe their uncles. Somebody will get that land. If you go by the Ba'e Ha'aretz, who then return it to the parents who left Mitzrayim, then they won't get any land at all. Okay, so there's an issue there where it's not like there's anyone who's not going to get land because they're not Ba'e Ha'aretz. But family could say, hey, wait, but there should be some other portion that belongs to our family that was from Reuben, and then they'll be told, sorry, but you know, we go by Ba'e Ha'aretz, and they had no one Ba'e Ha'aretz, so they don't get that land. So that could be a definite nafgamina. Okay. The last opinion we're going to see now, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, okay, at the end of Kufut Zayin, with Aleph turning now to Kufut Zayin, I'm a bet. Do you want to go over? There's one over there. Yep. Okay. Le'elu u'le'elu nitchal kaharetz. It's both. Kedei l'kayem shnei mikro'ot halalu. In order to work out with the psukim, we actually go by Ba'e Ha'aretz and Yotzei Mitzrayim. Ha'ketzad, the Gemara asks. So how do we do that? Hayami Yotzei Mitzrayim, no tel chalkom Yotzei Mitzrayim. Hayami Ba'e Ha'aretz, no tel chalkom Ba'e Ha'aretz. If you happen to be from Yotzei Mitzrayim, but not from Ba'e Ha'aretz, like the example I just gave, like Reuven and Shimon, who have no tzatzaim, so they still get property, and then again, their, let's say, uncle would inherit from them, assuming they have no other brothers. If you were Miba'e Ha'aretz, so then you get Chalko and Ba'e Ha'aretz. What if you were Mikan and Mikan? Let's say Reuben and Shimon did have sons who went into the land. Natal Chalko Mikan u'Mikan. You get both a portion for your father and a portion for yourself. Just like we said, if there were two Yotzei Mitzrayim, a father and a son, they get double portion. In this case, you could even, in theory, get triple portion, right? You'll say your father and you left Mitzrayim. You get, the son would get two parts. Plus, his children would get a part when they got into the land.
Plus, we say yesterday that Tzlochad would have gotten double because he was the oldest.
Right, and you might get double if you're the oldest, exactly. So, now, Miraglim, Yoshua, Bekalev, Natlu, Chelkan. Okay, the Miraglim, what happened to the Miraglim's land? The Miraglim, because they did Chen Miraglim, the spies, they went and told bad news about Israel, they lost their property. So who inherited their property? Yoshua and Kalev got their property. Okay, we're going to see now, how do we know they didn't get property? Okay, it's going to all come from this pasuk of Benot Tzlafchad, if you remember. I don't know if you remember this part, but what happened? The Benot Tzlafchad came to Moshe, and what did they say? Lefnei Moshe v'lefnei Elazar Kohen v'lefnei Nisim, and they say, Avinu meit bamidbar. I don't know if you remember this pasuk, but we're going to darshan it today. V'hu lo haya b'toch ha'edah ha'no'adim al Hashem ba'adat Korach. Kibachet omet ubanim lo hayula. Okay, so why did they bother? Why do they need to bother telling you that our father wasn't from? Now, pay attention to the words. He wasn't with the Eidah that went, let's say, hanoadim al Hashem, that maybe testified against God, that went against. I think Noad is like from Eidah. They got together against God with Korach. Okay, meaning the pshat is what they weren't part of Korach. You can already see though. Vidarshin. We're going to see that it wasn't just Korach. They were talking about the Meraglim, and we'll see in the Mitzlonanim, although the Mitzlonanim, it's not clear whether they mean the Mitzlonanim, those who complained against God about the water, about the meat, about that, or maybe the Mitzlonanim is the Mitzlonanim that went along with Korach. In other words, there was Adak Korach, and then there were the 250 people who came with him. You know, there was his small entourage and then the bigger entourage. So, we'll see. So now, what do we learn from here? If they're saying our father wasn't one of those people, it's implied that if he was, maybe he would have gotten nachala. So that's where we learn that if you're one of those people, you didn't get nachala. So now what happened to your nachala? So interestingly enough, Kalev and Yoshua, who are clearly, right, there were two Shvatim, the Miraglim were from, right, there was Ephraim and Yehuda, the Miraglim, one from every Shevet, all of a sudden we're going to see now all the property that belonged to the Miraglim went to Yoshua and Kalev. This whole thing about not passing over land from Shevet to Shevet, it obviously in this case it did. Okay, so So Yoshua v'Kalev netzlu chalkam. Mitlonanim v'ada Korach. Again, we're going to see, maybe they're the same, maybe they're different. We'll see the conclusion of the Gemara in the end, what it is, but it sounds like maybe right now we're talking about the people who complained about the meat, and ada Korach, lo hayalem chelek ba'aretz. So what happened to their children? Habanim natzlu b'schut avi avihen u'b'schut avi imotehen. Okay, what about their children? Right, their children didn't get any nachalah then. So in theory, you could say, yeah, they lost it. But now they say, no. The children got b'schut their grandfathers, either from their father's side or from the mother's side. Because remember, the sons inherit from the mother. So it makes sense that they would get, if their mother got land from the father, in the case where she didn't have siblings, they are brothers, then they could get the land from them. Okay. My mashma, now we get back to the question I said we get to. Dehai lishmot matot avotam biyotzei Mitzrayim k'tiv. Why do we assume that it says they got according to the names of their shvatim? It didn't just mean according to their shevet, right? Which is the way we would have understood that pasuk. How do we know it's talking about yotzei Mitzrayim? Dilma l'shvatim kamala. Maybe it just means according to the shvatim. So now they quote a pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Shmot. Okay, when Hashem is about to take, right, he's getting ready to take the people out of Mitzrayim. We're not at all close yet, but in the beginning, he speaks to Moshe and he tells to Moshe to go speak to the nation, right, give them a pep talk, tell them what's going to happen. So he says, let me just find the pasuk, in Shmot Vav, pasuk Chet. He says, right, this is where the Hotseiti v'Itzalti v'Ga'alti v'Lakachti come from. Okay, I'm going to take them out. I'm going to save them. I'm going to redeem them, etc. V'Lakachti etchem li la'am. Okay? And then, V'Heveiti etchem al ha'aretz asher nasati et yadi latet ota l'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yakov v'natati ota lachem morasha ani Hashem. Okay? Now, what do we say here? Why does it say, V'natati lachem morasha ani Hashem? Yerushai lachem me'avotechem. That this is going to be a Yerusha to you from your father. So what's he basically saying? Those who got out of Mitzrayim are going to get Nechala. So there's your proof. The Yotzei Mitzrayim, Kamar Lehu. And he was talking to the Yotzei Mitzrayim in that pasuk. So he was telling the Yotzei Mitzrayim that I'm going to give you land. So that means that the Nechala must have been given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Okay, that's why we understand Lishmot Matot Avotam means the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Okay, now we have one of these simanim again, what the next few things are going to relate to. Siman l'rav tzlapcha v'yosef ichpal menashe yechashev. Amar papa l'abaye. Bishlama l'man d'amar l'yotzei Mitzrayim nitchalka ha'aretz. If you say that it was nitchalka l'yotzei ha'aretz, then we understand, haynu d'chtiv, l'rav tarben nachalato l'mam'at tam'it nachalato. If you say it went to Yotzei Mitzrayim, then it makes sense that when you say, or maybe we should say, let me do the second one first, and then we'll explain the first one. We'll see what's difficult, and then you'll understand why it makes sense according to that. El lamanda amar lebaya aretz, my la rav tarbu nachalato. Okay? What does it mean, la rav tarbu nachalato? The families that are great will get more nachala. The families that are smaller will get less nachala. Now, if you want to say that we split it based on the baya aretz, so Reuben's sons, there were five. Shimon have one. So Reuben's sons will get more and Shimon will get less. Well, that's quite obvious, right? In other words, if we say we go by how many people went into the land, so obviously if you're five people, you're going to get five portions. If you're one person, you're going to get one portion. You don't need a pasuk to tell you those who were big families got more and those who were small families got less. It's quite obvious. So therefore, it must be l'rav tarben achalato means, well, if you had a big family coming out of Egypt, then you'd end up with more portions. And it's something that's visible to the eye, there's no point to say, right? If we go by what we have right now, so we're eight people around the table, so we'd say, okay, so, or seven, whatever we are, if we're seven people, we get seven portions, that would be perfect, right? We get seven portions. No, we need to say you get seven portions, right? Because you're a big group or a small group. But if we go by how many of our ancestors came out of Egypt, and that was, you know, you had, let's say, three, and I had one, so you'd end up with a bigger portion. And that would be saying, the two of us look equal, but you get more because you have more ancestors that came out of Egypt. So that's what it means, l'rav tarbe v'lama'at timayet. So my l'rav tarbe nachalato, kashya. By the way, this is a... Generally, when there's a bishlama structure, it works like something makes sense, something doesn't make sense, and there's almost always an answer. In this case, there's no answer. It's one of those unique cases where they don't actually answer the bishlama. The amar le'rav papa l'abaye. Another thing Abaye says. Bishlama l'manda amar li'yotzei Mitzrayim. Hainu dekatzavcham benot slavchad. We understand if it goes by the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the Benot Slavchad had a good complaint because they said our father, who came out of Mitzrayim, remember, the father's dead, right? So think about it. It's obvious. If the father's dead, he's not one of the Ba'ei Ha'aretz. So how could they even claim any land? It doesn't make any sense. So, Ela Lamanda Amar Leba'ei Ha'aretz, Amai Katzav Chan, Ha'Leite Delishkol. Ela, Lips are Avalito, but, sorry, that's the answer. Okay, so here we have. That's why they complained. But Elamant Amar Le Ba'e Ha'aretz, Amay Tzavchan, Ha'lete Delishko, right? If we go by the Ba'e Ha'aretz, so they have nothing to claim, right? He's already dead, and there's no, they can't get the land. Ela, L'chazravalito B'nichse Chefer. Okay, what they were trying to do is to get from Nichse Chefer, right? In other words, the grandfather might still have been around, and therefore they were trying to get from his property, and that's what they were claiming. We want a portion, our father's portion of Chefer's plot. Bishlama Lamandam. Okay, before we go on to this, I want to give you a more history, okay? If you look in Sefer Yoshua, read it to you, Perek Yud Zayin, there's a part where the B'nai Yosef come and complain. Okay, what do they say? They say, let me just find the pasuk in your Dalet. Vayidabru b'nei Yosef al Yoshua lemur. Madu natata li nachala, goral achad v'chevel achad, v'ani am rav. Ad asher ad ko berchani Hashem. I've been so blessed, I have so many children, but we don't have enough land. You didn't give us enough space for all our people. Vayomar lehem Yoshua, im am ravata, ale lecha hayara, uberata lecha sham be'eretz ha'prizi v'arifayim. If Ha'Efraim is not big enough, so go to the forest. Now, it's very unclear what this means. We're going to see from the Gemara, this doesn't mean I'm giving you extra nachala. It means either go to the forest that's within your territory and clean it up and dwell there, okay? Take that, okay? Or some people say, we're going to see from the Gemara that it actually means something totally different. They're going to darshan it in this sort of drasha. Okay? The assumption is, though, that they don't get any extra nachala because there are more people. So now they're going to try to prove from here. Bishlama lamanda amar liyotze Mitzrayim. Hainu de katzavchan b'nei Yosef. Dechtiv v'yidabru b'nei Yosef. Ela, right, they don't give us the rest of the pasuk, that's why I gave it to you. So they complained because what did they say? We're a lot of people. Now, if they were a lot of people when they got into the land, then obviously they would have gotten enough according to how many people they were. So it must be that they were getting, based on Yotze Mitzrayim, there was some huge, you know, population surge within their shevet in between the time of Yotzei Mitzrayim until they got into the land, and that must be why they complain now that they need more land. So now the El Lamand Amar LeBe'er Aretz Mai Katzavche Kulu Shakil, right? They should have all collected. So what do they say now? Mishum Tfalim Dehavu Nefisha Lehu. Where was their bulk? It could be the Be'er Aretz, but it could be that when they came into the land, there were X amount of people. Remember, we only count based on over 20. It could be their huge population surge was in the children's department, right? Now, they had tons of children under 20, and then they didn't have enough land for them, and they all came into the land. However, they weren't over 20, so therefore they didn't get counted in the count of how they were getting. So that doesn't necessarily raise a question. Amar Abaye, Shema Mina, it's implied from the Torah. This is an interesting assumption. Okay, all about complaining. Lo havacha de lo shakil. There must have been nobody who didn't get his appropriate piece of land. Disal kadat ha havacha de lo shakil. Okay, let's say, right, we talked about maybe someone, their father was in Yotzei, right, where there was someone, if, based on one of the interpretations, you could claim that maybe somebody didn't have someone who came out of Mitzrayim, right? Maybe their father was too young when he came out of Mitzrayim. The grandfather maybe wasn't alive anymore, right? Let's assume a yatom came out of Mitzrayim, an orphan. He was under 20, so the kids wouldn't get any portion. So now we see it's, Abayi's almost saying it was miraculous that there weren't any cases like that. It didn't end up that somebody based on these rules didn't get. How do we know this? Interesting. Tisal kadatach. If there was someone who didn't get land, he would have complained, just like the Benot Tzlachad and B'nei Yosef. We're going to see from the fact that we have the complaint of Benot Tzlachad and we have the complaint of B'nei Yosef, it must be that if no other complaints are registered in the Torah or in the Nevi'im, there must not have been complaints, because if they were, they would have mentioned it. So now what might you say? The Kitema Ditzavach Vahane Katvekra. Maybe you want to suggest only the complaints that actually were answered positively got mentioned in the Torah. Now, you have to assume at this point that the B'nai Yosef, when he said go to the Yar, they actually did get, that was his solution for them. So only people who complained and there was a solution for them. But let's say there was a Yatom who left Mitzrayim and he was under 20 and his sons didn't get any land and they complained. Well, the answer would have to be, unfortunately, no. Sorry. And maybe the Torah didn't bother to tell us about the complaints that got answered negatively. Okay, so I'll just want to read you the words here. Did Tzavach Ba'ahane, and those who complained and were answered properly, right, got the positive answer, Katve Kra, the Pasuk would tell us about it. But did Tzavach Ba'lo Ahane, lo Katve Kra. So now they say, what do you mean though? Habnei Yosef, did Tzavche Ba'lo Ahane, v'katvinu Kra, they called out, didn't get answered, and they actually are mentioned in the Pasuk. So what do they say? Ah, no, because Hatam, the reason why Bnei Yosef, in other words, now what are we assuming? We wanted to say no one complained. Then we said, no, maybe someone did complain, it wasn't registered. But then they said, no, because maybe they were only supposed to register ones that got answered properly. So then they said, but Bnei Yosef didn't get answered properly. But they say, no, there was a different reason why we wanted to tell us that, which means it's very possible there were complaints that they just didn't bother putting in the Torah, right? Could you imagine? I mean, we do know there's lots of complaints registered in the Torah, but if they would have mentioned all the complaints, we'd have a much longer Torah. So what's the reason they mentioned the Bnei Yosef, even though they didn't get answered positively? Hatam Eitza Tova Kamash Malan Di Baile Le'inshe Lizduhure Mi'ina Bisha V'hainu Deka Amarlu Yoshua. Okay, let me explain first. What it was trying to teach us, Eitza Tova, in other words, Yoshua gave them a good advice. What was the advice he gave him? People should be very cautious from the ayin hara. How do we see this from his response? Notice that his answer to them. He doesn't say, right, just go to the yar. He says, if you're a great nation, if you're so many people, then you should go to the yar. Amar lehu, what was he telling them? Lechu v'hechubiyu atzmechem b'yarim shelo tishlop b'chem ayin hara. Being such a big family, it's going to bring the ayin hara. So what should you do? Go to the yar and hide, basically, from the ayin hara. Okay, go to a place where you'll be hidden, so the ayin hara won't get to you. So what did they answer him? Amrulei. Okay, because then, let me just see if this comes from the psukim or not. Right, so they say Lo yimatzei lanu hahar v'rechad barzel b'chol haknani yoshei be'eretz ha'emek asher b'beitchanu b'notan. Okay, so yeah, okay. So I don't know if they get this to the psukim or not. But what do they say? Amulo le anan. You might remember this. Mizara de Yosef de lo shal tabe ayin abisha. We're from the Zera of Yosef, and there's no ayin hara in Yosef. Now we're going to see two places where we get this from. Dichtiv ben porat Yosef, ben porat aleha ayin. Okay, this is from Yaakov's brachot to them. Okay, what does it mean, aleha ayin? Vamar Rabbi Avau, al tikrei aleha ayin, ela ole ayin. They rise above the ayin hara. That's how they darsh in this pasuk. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, amar mehacha. It comes from the Ephraim and Menashe bracha that Yaakov gave to them, vayidgu l'rov b'kerev ha'aretz. What do we know about dagim? Ma dagim shebayam mayim mechasim alehem ve'ein ha'ayin sholetet b'hem. Right, the dagim can't be seen; they're under the water. So just like the ayin can't get to the dagim, af zarosha Yosef ein ha'ayin sholetet b'hem. So two different psukim that show, and basically, Bnei Yosef said to him, we don't need to go to the yar and hide from the ayin hara, protect ourselves from the ayin hara, because we're protected already from the ayin hara. It obviously doesn't resolve their land problem, but it's according to the Gemara, right? There's a whole different issue going here on here about the ayin hara.
This is when they say, don't have too many children here, but a few.
Right, and then yesterday's daf, it was all about you have to have children and you have to have, right.
I'm sorry, I always, you know, when people do this now in a modern time with a lot of children, I always think it's a nice
people do what with children?
Don't count your children, this one, so many children, the whole ayin hara with
them. With the ayin hara with
lots of children. I always thought it was very nice. If people can have children, it might make them feel very badly. So there's no jealousy. So go in the forest so people can have children.
Right, so it's a way of not showing off about it.
Right,
you know,
which should cause people to resent.
Right, which I think actually goes hand in hand with what Judy's saying with the page before, because those who can't have children is such a bad thing, and it's the combination of those things. This is obviously a very
everything
good thing.
Everything in moderation.
Any very good thing, right, anything in moderation, any very good thing always is potential to bring the ayin hara. So it makes sense in the context of yesterday's daf also. Okay, Miraglim Yoshua v'Kalev Natilu Chalkam. Now we're going to darshan this pasuk and figure out where we get to the Miraglim from that pasuk. Minane Milei. Amar Ula Damakra, Yoshua bin Nun. Okay, first of all, how do we know? Forget, we're going to get soon to the Meraglim and how we know that they didn't get land, but how do we know that Yoshua and Caleb got the land that they didn't get, that they were supposed to get. Because that obviously didn't appear in the Benot, the Meraglim got. And it didn't appear in the Psukim by Benot Tzlafchad, who got the land that the Meraglim didn't get. Even if, right, we'll get to it, we didn't even see the Meraglim in that Pasuk at all, but assuming the Meraglim are included in that Pasuk, how do we know that Yoshua ben Nun and Kalev got their portion? The Yoshua, right, it would have been smarter to start this with where do we even get the Meraglim from? Okay, the order of this, right, we should really read from the bottom up, but we'll read like this. Yoshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yefune chayu min anashim ahem. My chayu, what does it mean? They, right, they survived. They were the only ones who survived from the Meraglim. So now, my chayu, ilem achayu mamash, v'haktiv krachrina v'lo notar mehem ish, ki im Kalev ben Yefune v'Yoshua ben Nun. Right, these are two different psukim in Bamidbar. Okay, one, the first one is at the end of the Meraglim story, the Yoshua v'Kalev chayu min anashim, and the other one is at the end of Bamidbar Kavav, and they start talking about all the people. Right, they count the people again. It says, right, ki amar Hashem lahem motu matu Bamidbar v'lo notar mehem ish. There was no one left from the whole generation of the Midbar except for Kalev ben Yefune v'Yoshua ben Nun. So therefore, you don't need to say that they were chayu, that they survived. We know they survived from the other pasuk. So, ela mai chayu, shechayu b'chalkam. It must be they lived meaning lived, right? You live in a house, right? It's a way we talk normally. So chayu could also mean that they lived in their portion. How obviously they lived in 12 different port, right? 10, their own portion plus the portions of others and all the this is okay, but I guess they gave it to their children. Mitzlonenim v'adak korach lo ayalem chelek ba'aretz. V'hatanya, so isn't there a bright that says miraglim mitzlonenim v'adak korach Yoshua v'kalev natlu chalkam. So, right, so now, according to this, they didn't get any chelek ba'aretz, the mitzlonenim v'adak korach. But according to this, it says the Meraglim and the Mitzlonim and Korach, Yoshua and Kalev took their portion. So before, what did we say in our Mishnah? Yoshua and Kalev got the Meraglim's portion. It didn't say that they got the portion of the Mitzlonim and Korach. So what are the answer? Lokashia. Mar makish Mitzlonim lameraglim. Mar lo makish Mitzlonim lameraglim. Do we make a hekesh of this pasuk? Now, what's interesting is we're making a hekesh based on a drasha. Right? Normally a hekesh is when you have two things in the same pasuk and we say what's true for one is true for the other. But now they're taking this drasha so seriously, which we're going to, again, we haven't even seen the drasha yet, okay? But the drasha that's going to basically say that all those words mentioned in Benot Tzlafchad when they say our father wasn't B'toch ha'edah ha'no'adim al Hashem ba'adak korach means the mitzlonenim, the meraglim, and adak korach. So therefore we're going to say that what's true for the Meraglim, if you say that it's talking about all those people, we're going to say, well, if you make a hekesh here, then what's true for the Meraglim is true for the Mitzlonim and Adak Korach, which means that if Yoshua and Kalev inherited the portion of the Meraglim, they're also going to inherit the portion of the Mitzlonim and Adak Korach. But if you're not Mekish, you don't make that hekesh, because maybe you say, we don't make a hekesh on a drasha, right? It's already like a double, it's like a gzerah la gzerah. So, therefore, we're going to say, then, no, Yoshua and Kalev inherited the Meraglim portion. They didn't get the Adak Korach portion. Because remember, what did our Mishnah say? What happened to the Adak Korach portion? Their children, right, their children, there was no portion at all, and their children inherited the grandfathers. Okay, so how do we know this? That there's a case? Titania, here we finally get to our drasha. Avinu meit bamidbar. Zetzlochad, okay, that we know. V'hu lo haya b'tocha edah. What's b'tocha edah? Ze adat meraglim. By the way, it's called them edah. Ab matay le'edah ha-ra'ah hazot. Those are the sources we always use when we talk about minyan. Because the meraglim were a minyan. They were 10 people. And edah is 10 people. Okay, that's where we get the source for minyan, being 10 people. So it makes sense to say b'tocha edah must be adat meraglim. Ha-no'adim al-Hashem, elu mitzlonenim, because no'adim, it's almost like they stand up against God, right? They get together against God. Well, who's that? The mitzlonenim, complain against God. Ba'adak korach kemashmo, that's obvious. You don't even need to tell us. So again, they're going to say now, so since we have this drasha, mar makish mitzlonenim l'meraglim, and mar lo makish mitzlonenim l'meraglim, right? And then the question is, are you makish these things or not? Va'amar le'rav Papa l'Abaye, u'leman de makish mitzlonenim l'meraglim, Ichpul Yoshua v'Kalev v'yartu l'kula Eretz Yisrael. Okay, if you're going to say right? The Mitzlonim, the Meraglim, this is a great line, right? Who didn't complain in the desert? Everybody complained in the desert. So you're going to say, basically, if you're going to make this a case, you're basically going to say that they got everything. Because you have the Meraglim. Okay, that's 10. You have Adaf Korach, which is Korach and, you know, all the 250 people in Om Ben Pelet. And, okay, that's okay. You get a few more. But if you say Mitzlonim, everybody complained. Okay, so now you're basically going to give them all of the land. It's a great line about, you know, once you include complainers, basically everything. There's a lot about complaining on this page, right? You know, if anyone complained about their Nachala, it would have been the Torah. No. I'm sure there were lots of people who complained. It just didn't end up in the Torah. Amarle, so what do they explain in the end? Mitzloninim Shabbat HaKorach Kamrinam. We were talking, when they say the Mitzloninim, they weren't talking about the Mitzloninim that we hear about all over. It was the people who joined Korach, the 250 people. And the Adak Korach doesn't include all those people, but the Mitzloninim Shabbat HaKorach is included by the word Mitzloninim. But Amarle Rav Papa Labai, okay, this is the siman for all these things, right? We're having all these things that Rav Papa says to Abai. Bishlama Laman Damar Yosei Mitzrayim Nitzvamka Haaretz. It says in Yoshua that Menashe got 10 portions. Okay, Levav Be'eretz Hagalav Babashana Shem Ever LaYarden. Do you remember that Menashe was the Chatzi Shevet Menashe, right? Half of them got the Ever LaYarden with Gad and Reuven, and the other half got in Eretz Yisrael, and they got 10 portions. So, what are the 10 portions? Shita, six of them are Deshita Batei Avot. Okay, there's these six Batei Avot, these six families mentioned in Yoshua. Those are six of the portions. Ve'arba'a didhu. And four are the Benot Slavchad's portions. Now, didn't we say Benot Slavchad got 3 portions, remember? Okay, so we're going to have to figure out where they get to 4. Okay?
There were five groups?
There were 5 of them, but what happened? They got their father's portion, which was 1. No, I'm sorry. Their father's, which was
2.
Well, okay, no, like, right. No, they got
the grandfather's
and the grandfather's, they got the father's portion double from the grandfather. So they got their own father's portion, which was 1. And then, because remember, the father and the grandfather both came out of Mitzrayim. So they got the father's portion 1. They got the grandfather's 2. There's 2 that went to the father. So that would be 3. But that's, again, that's only if you say Liyotei Mitzrayim, because both the father and the grandfather came out of Mitzrayim. And then they get 3, and we'll get to 4 in a minute, how we get to 4. So that would end up 6 plus 4, 10. Ha'asara. Ela lamanda amar leba'e ha'aretz timnayahu. Dehaveshita deshita batei avot. Should be 6 batei avot. Vitrei ditu. And then they would get 2. I have to remember again which the 2 here. Right, then they would get... Right. Right, they would get the 2 portions of their father's portion. Because we would assume Chefer came into the land, I guess. No, he couldn't have come into the land. How does it work? I think I'm going to remind myself how this works. Right, so they didn't get their father's portion. And then, according to this, where would they get from? Right, they would get the 2 portions from. What would happen is they would get. That's what happens, right? If you say Leba'e Ha'aretz, what do you say? The sons of Tzlofchad would get the land when they came into the land. They would each get a portion, but then what happened? They'd have to bring it back to Tzlofchad's father. Right, all Tzlofchad's brothers get their portion. They bring it back to Tzlofchad's father, right, and including the girls would get 1 portion of it. They bring it back to the father, and then they would divide it up, right? They would go based on the number of people they were. Let's say they were 20. Then the 20 people would give it back to Tzlofchad's father, who's not there anymore. And then they would divide it up evenly based on the way his inheritance was supposed to have gone. So 2 portions of that would have gone to Benot Tzlofchad. Okay, so they would have gotten 2. So now, so Hatim Naya, that's 8. So then they say, so then that doesn't make any sense, right? If you say Leba'e Ha'aretz, they should, Menashe should have only gotten 8 portions, 2 of Benot Tzlofchad and 6 of the Batei Avot. So then they say, V'litamech, but wait a minute, according to what you're saying, that it's 10, Ulamanda Amar Liyotei Mitzrayim Nitzchak Ha'aretz, Tisha Havu Lehu, right? Havu, it should only be 9. Slav Chagat, right? But not Slav Chagat, the two portions of their father, and one portion of the father, and then the two portions father was supposed to inherit. So where'd you get to 10? Elamayit lach lameimar, chad achada abba havalahu. Hachanami, shrei achada abba havalahu. Okay, so now you would say, wait, I don't know how this went. You would say that they had a brother that came out of Egypt, and he died without brothers, right? In other words, there has to be some extra portion here that they got 10. So what was it? That Tzlafchad inherited his brother's portion. In other words, not only his brother had no kids. What happens if the brother has no kids? It goes back to the father, which then goes back to the son. So Tzlafchad got an additional portion because one of his brothers died without sons. So if you say that, right, in other words, what he's saying is, you have to say that, that's the case. So therefore, what will I say? Trei achei da'aba havalahu. Maybe he had two brothers. In other words, once you're already not at that magical three number that we already talked about in the Mishnah, there must be an additional, it must be he had a brother who died without sons. So maybe I could claim, he had two brothers who died without sons, and as if you want to have the ba'ei ha'aretz shita makes sense, he could claim the same thing. And either which way, somebody's making up a story that there must have been something that we can't see, right? That we don't know about that happened. So he'll just claim that there were two of them. Okay, that's what he'll say. Ditanya, naton titein lahem. Okay, so now this is the pasuk about Kambin al Safcha Dovrot, right? This is what they're saying. Naton titein lahem achuzat nachala b'toch achi avihem. Remember, they get also a part with the brothers of Tzlafchad, they pick up that portion. That was where we learned all about the bat haben, right? That the granddaughter gets the nachala. So naton titein lahem, what are they getting in that? Zo nachalat avihen. Bitoch achei avihen. We're going to, again, darshan, just like with the meraglim, all extra parts of this pasuk. Why does it say bitoch achei avihen? Zo nachalat avihen, right? So first they get their nachala of their father. Then they get the nachala of their grandfather. Bahavarta nachalat avihen lahem. Right, there's additional words here. Zo chelek bechora. Okay, that's the bechora. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer, av chelek achi avihem natzlu. They even got the portion, here's the source, that they had an uncle who died without kids. Shenemar naton titain. That's the first Rasha said, naton titain is their nachalat avihem. But if you wanted to say they get their nachalat avihem, you could have just said naton. You didn't have to say the double lashon. So the double lashon includes that there was something additional here that they got, which is an uncle's portion. Okay? Ulamanda amar treyache da abba havaluhu. So where's he going to get it from? Right? If you want to say there were two uncles, you need an additional word to darshan in this pasuk. So where do they learn it from? Hahumi achuzat nachala. Oh, nafka. Okay, he gets it from this additional word of achuzat nachala. Okay, let me read you the whole pasuk and then we'll see. And we'll end with this. Kein benot slavcha dovrot, naton titein lahem. Okay, that was the first drasha. Achuzat nachala. They skipped that word in the first drasha. Okay, they will get an achuzat nachala. So the second guy says, oh, that's the additional. Right, the first guy said naton titein is the uncle, right? The naton is the father's portion. The titain is the uncle. Achuzat nachala, according to the second guy, is the additional uncle. Betoch achi avihem is the grandfather's portion. Bavarata en nachalat avihem lahem is the bechorah portion. And that's how we get that they have four portions, or, right, depending on how many you count, you know, how you work it out, how many portions they actually got. Okay.